Hi, my listeners. I'm bringing to you today another mini episode, and I chose a topic that I'm hearing many women talk about everywhere I go, the gym, at work, my women's groups, just hanging out, having a coffee. We all talk about this, and that is the dreaded weight gain associated with menopause. When it comes to weight gain during menopause, it's the changing in hormone levels that can affect the way we store fat. During menopause, many individuals notice changes in their fat distribution as well, from the hips to the abdomen, for example. And this fat being stored around the abdomen could be an early sign of type 2 diabetes and heart disease. So it's so essential to take action to address these changes and maintain healthy weight. And that can be done through a myriad of approaches, namely lifestyle change, eating habits, not just what you eat, but when you eat and how you eat, and as well as incorporating exercise, particularly weight-bearing exercises and zone 2 cardio. That's the cardio that you're not full-out sprinting, but you're getting the heart rate up. You can go for a nice brisk walk, say for 30 minutes with your dog, with your friends, whatever that might be. We'll get into that in a later episode. But I also want to talk about how hormonal changes in menopause affect the digestive system. Hormonal fluctuations can influence that delicate balance of the gut microbiome, and that is comprised of trillions of microorganisms that carry out all the functions of the body. They support digestive health and our immune system. And when it's out of whack, it can lead to various digestive symptoms, including, and you may have experienced some, if not all, bloating, wind, constipation, change in bowel habits, and abdominal pain. While many individuals experience weight gain during menopause, academic studies have not yet concluded that there is a clear link between hormonal changes and weight gain. It's so important then to recognize that the various factors such as the aging process and our lifestyle changes, including sugar consumption and alcohol consumption, can impact the weight changes during this phase of life. During perimenopause, the declining levels of circulating estrogen, that's the estrogen that circulates throughout our body and even stored in our fat, can cause rapid changes in the body's fat distribution as well as insulin resistance. Estrogen plays such a crucial role in regulating the metabolism and the weight, particularly the primary form of estrogen, which is called estradiol. Estradiol interacts with other hormones that control metabolism, such as leptin, which regulates hunger and body fat formation. The decline in estrogen levels then can affect our appetite as well as the fat distribution of the body, which I had mentioned earlier. Another hormone to be aware of in the body, and I mentioned this in my last mini episode, and that is cortisol, which is involved in the body's stress response. So as estrogen levels fall, cortisol levels will rise, leading to an increase in things like blood pressure, blood sugar levels, and digestive issues such as the ones mentioned, bloating, gas, constipation. Estrogen also optimizes the action of insulin, a hormone that controls our blood sugar levels. So when you have high blood sugar levels, it can have adverse effects on various parts of the body's systems. Estrogen's decline will significantly impact insulin efficiency as well as our glucose levels. So as the glucose levels rise and we're not active, that glucose, where does it go? If it's not being chewed up by the muscles, that is its primary form of energy, well, it goes to fat stores. So while these hormone changes can influence weight during perimenopause, it's really important to acknowledge that weight changes are also linked to the aging process and lifestyle factors such as exercise, diet, and sleep. As people age, their bodies require less energy than when they were younger. However, they may continue to consume the same amount of caloric intake, or maybe even more, often indulging in big meals, alcohol. And there's especially a prevalence to readily available convenient foods, fast foods that are high in sugar and high in fat. Another factor at play, joint flexibility, which may decrease with age, leading to reduced physical activity and less energy expenditures because we're not active. Joint pain is one of the common perimenopause symptoms. So when you're feeling sore, well, you sometimes just don't want to get up and be active. We're going to address pain, joint pain associated with menopause in a later episode. But if you want to learn more about how to manage pain and upping your dose of omega-3, tune in to my second episode with Michaela Morrell. She is a body hacker and she unpacks the magic of omegas, omega-3s and a 6, as well as magnesium and vitamin D. So what can you do about all this? Shifting in weight, weight distribution around the belly. Well, I mentioned it earlier, exercise. Regular exercise is essential for maintaining bone and muscle strength, particularly protecting the joints, getting those joints moving, and of course, managing our weight because we're burning calories. I say aim for aerobic activities like a brisk walk, jogging, swimming, cycling, and start with around 10 minutes if you're not particularly active, and you can gradually work that up. An extra 5 minutes per week or per session. And then aim to get 3 to 4 sessions per week. Strength training, so important. And I've mentioned this before, Kimra here in my previous episode, she gets right into the value, the importance of heavy weight lifting as we age for longevity. Strength training can help reduce body fat. Why? Not just that we're burning calories and strengthening muscles, but as we build more muscles, they're using glucose for its primary fuel source. The more muscle you have in your body, the more glucose you are going to use efficiently rather than store it as fat. Another thing, strength training helps address our decreasing muscle mass and decreasing bone density, which sadly is also associated with estrogen egress. And then I say get into some stretching and some yoga to improve flexibility, coordination, and balance. 3 things that are depleted as we age. And when you lose balance and some coordination and flexibility, you're more prone to falls. One small break can send you in a health crisis because there's more empirical data that shows that longevity after osteoporosis issues, a break, a fall, particularly a pelvic break, is significantly reduced. Another great thing about yoga is what we call an opportunity to go inward with your body, and you're connecting with the breath. Now, I can go on at great length just talking about the values and the benefits of the yoga, from balancing the chakra systems, releasing energy, stuck energy, stored emotions, to balancing your yin, your yang, masculine, the feminine, the Ida Pinkala. But let's just say that yoga is a time for one to really get deep in with their breath. It's meditative and it just feels so good for mind and body. So if you haven't taken up yoga, I would suggest you get yourself down to a studio real soon and give it a try. You'll be amazed at the benefits you can find. Now let's talk very briefly about HRT. This subject deserves its own podcast, if not several, but just briefly touching on it, hormone replacement therapy can provide symptom relief during menopause. If you're looking to lose weight, HRT is not the solution. HRT is to improve quality of life, to address sleep issues, to address your hot flashes, to address other cognitive effects associated with the decline in estrogen. Do you want to learn more about HRT? I highly recommend you have a listen to my episode with Dr. Fiona Lovely. She is the host of Not Your Mother's Menopause podcast, a very successful podcast. She's based in Calgary, Alberta. Love her. Amazing what she unpacks about hormones and HRT. I've often talked about keeping a food diary. The jury is out on that. You can hear a little bit more about food diaries with my latest interview with Kim Hines, an Emotional Eats podcast host, as well as a nutrition specialist coaching women how to address emotional eating and belly fat. I think that food diaries are effective if you just want to track how you've reacted to certain foods. But if you get into the calorie counting, it can become a little bit obsessive and it's to your detriment. And then lastly, let's talk about stress management. Again, another topic that deserves entirely its own episode, if not several. If you want to learn more about how to manage stress, well, We address it in almost every one of my last episodes. One great episode is with Prakash Chagu. He is a Kundalini energy and yoga mystic. He really unpacks the values of addressing stress from a point of not only just yoga, but the mindset too. Stress management, it's crucial for overall well-being. And as I've mentioned before, those high stress levels that increased cortisol can contribute to weight gain because it really disrupts the diversity of the gut microbiome. So engaging in activities that help you unwind, like yoga or a nice walk, can really help de-stress at the end of the day, getting into some meditation and mindfulness work, even taking up a hobby that forces you to disengage from the daily life, from the daily activities of our lives that keep us in that fight-flight mode and puts us more into that relax, rest, digest. Gardening, for example. Art. I have met several women that have taken up art in their 60s and are now featured in galleries. Imagine that. You know, sometimes when we do lose our estrogen and that veil comes off, we find our new purpose, the person that we are meant to be in the latter half of our lives. So take comfort in knowing that what you're experiencing right now through the transition, it's like a butterfly trying to come out of that cocoon. That birthing process is uncomfortable, but when you get to the other side, it's a beautiful, beautiful journey to explore. But always remember this, that menopause is a natural phase of life. Changes in weight and metabolism is part of this transition, unfortunately, but you have to embrace it with self-compassion and self-love. If you want to learn more about that, listen to my very first episode with Shannon Simpson as we talk about resilient self-love and the benefits it can do when you change that mindset and start really appreciating who you are. So a little disclaimer, always seek support from your healthcare provider. This is for information purposes, to empower, to educate, to inspire, and maybe even to entertain. It's been a pleasure bringing you this little mini. Stay tuned for another full episode where I bring you more experts in the fields of women health, from the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being of the person we were always meant to be. Do you need support through your menopause transition? A menopause doula can help. You can find me at mlcoaching.com. And help me help you by filling out a simple survey, which is linked in the show notes. Your input is greatly valued and will help in the design and creation of tools, courses, and other resources for my upcoming one-on-one and group coaching programs. Take the survey, it's linked in the show notes. Like, follow, share, subscribe. And if you are enjoying this podcast, I would love to hear from you. Consider leaving a review. Spreading the word will help broaden my audience reach and further impact more women as they experience a transition.